See, if we're not here, Noah was a just man. Noah was perfect in his generation. Yet the world that he was living in was corrupt before God. And the Bible says, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Not only was Noah a just and perfect man in his generation, but equally important, he had a relationship with God. And that's very important. In the midst of a global crisis, it is important to have a relationship with God. God spoke to him. God shared with him what was on his heart, what he planned to do, and where Noah fitted in his plan. Believe it or not, in the midst of this crisis, God has a plan for your life and for my life. Do you spend time with God? Do you listen to his voice? He said, my sheep hear my voice. Like Noah, you can hear the voice of God. You know, many years ago, when I was a young man, about 20 years of age, I was searching for God. I was once a Marxist. I was once a Rastafarian. And there was a point in my life where I believed that there was no God. And then there came a time I began to search again. And I said a prayer like this to God. I said, God, I don't know if you exist. And if you exist, I don't know if I need to know you. Therefore, I am asking, if you exist and I need to know you, I am asking you to reveal yourself to me. If you note, I did not ask God which church I should go to. I did not ask God what religion I should become a part of. I said, God, if you exist, I am asking you to reveal yourself to me. And praise God, about 4 days later, God revealed himself to me. He showed me in a vision that I was a sinful man and that I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and repent of my sins. Hallelujah. And praise God, Jesus Christ came into my heart. And I want to say to you today, if you don't know God, I want to encourage you to go to God in prayer. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Praise God. I believe he will. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Those are the words of Jesus. And they are prophetic words. Can you imagine the weeping and the wailing and the panic that occurred in Noah's time when the flood waters began to rise? The same people who had rejected Noah's message of redemption and salvation and his forewarning were now dying and begging Noah to let them into the ark. It was too late. Right up to the time the coronavirus pandemic started, the people of our world have been growing increasingly wicked. People have been enjoying banquets, parties, and weddings, indulgence in orgies, idolatry, murder, rape, human trafficking, etc. has been the order of the day. The people of the world did not see this pandemic coming. Like the people in Noah's time, we did not prepare ourselves for this dilemma. As a result, thousands are dying and the world is in chaos. There is a famine in the land. People are losing their jobs. There are shortages of food. Important commodity items are in short supply. Nations are closing their borders and the world is coming to a standstill. God is shaking the nations. He's reminding humanity that we are not in charge of our destiny. Positive thinking has no power against the coronavirus. I believe God is saying to us that the current pandemic is a small demonstration of what will happen when he returns to judge the world. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when he returns." We must prepare to meet our God. Have you been rejecting God's call on your life? If so, repent and accept his salvation. In Hebrews 11 verse 7, the word of God tells us, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood." He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. You know, sometimes we wonder, what will happen in the future? What will be our condition in the future? But we need to remember that God is not only a God of the present, but God is also a God of the future. And only God knows the future. And that is why it is important for each of us to have a relationship with God and to walk with God as we walk into the future. He was forewarned. Noah did not perish. You don't have to perish. God was not taken by surprise. He was judging the then world. Noah was a prophet. He was not taken by surprise. What about you? What is your condition? Noah was prepared to look foolish as he built that boat on dry land, a land which had never flooded before. Are you prepared to be a fool for Christ's sake? This pandemic has occurred at a time when humanity has achieved high levels of sophistication because of increased knowledge and the development of technology. Ironically, mankind, who in some instances regarded themselves as God, has no cure for the coronavirus. This virus has brought the world to a standstill. Genesis 6:9, the Bible says, "Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God." Hallelujah. And you and I can walk with God also. Noah did not perish because he knew God. He had a relationship with God, and God directed him, telling him what to do in order to save himself and his family. Like Noah, God can help you if you put your trust in him. Like Noah, we need to hear from God. A word from God will give us peace and hope for the future. A word from God will guarantee our future. And if there was ever a time when we need a guarantee for our future, it is now. And only God can give us. No nation can give us. No leader can give us. No man can give us. Only God can give us. The next thing I note about Noah was that Noah was obedient to God. Very important. He separated himself from the sinful ways of the people of the world. He practiced social distancing. He was in the world, but not of the world. At a time when God required social distancing, the people of the world wanted a social life void of God. Psalm 1:1 tells us, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." God requires us as believers to practice social distancing. To remember that we are in the world, but as believers, we are not to be of the world. That does not mean that we must not share the gospel with people. It does not mean that. But we must remember who we are in Christ. The next thing I noted was that Noah had clean hands. Praise God. Psalm 24 verses 3 to 5 tells us, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord?" I want us to note that in the hill of the Lord, there is safety, there is peace, there is provision, there is everything that we need in this life to live a godly life. But the psalmist said, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place?" And then verse 4 says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Let me say that again. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. What a wonderful promise from God. Even as we focus on cleaning our hands. Oh, I tell you, I've never washed my hands so much in my entire life as I've washed my hands over the past 3 weeks. He said, I want to urge us to be even more vigilant to clean our hearts with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that the only persons who can stand before God are those who have a clean hand and a pure heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And only Jesus Christ can purify our hearts. Hallelujah. And when our hearts are pure, we can stand before God. Hallelujah. The next thing I noted was that Noah not only made time to look after his family. He was a family man. Praise God. He built an ark and he put his family on the ark. And they were delivered from the flood. Praise God. But it says that he also made time to do God's work. That's very important. Amen. He was a balanced man. He was not just thinking of himself. He was not selfish. He was not just thinking of his family, but he was thinking of those who were about to perish. And he tried to save them. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us, "And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and the 7 others in his family." Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. In other words, even as he prepared to keep his family safe, even as he looked after the welfare of his family, he also spent time warning the world of God's righteous judgment. And brethren, you know, I believe that this is a time when we should not just focus on self-preservation, but we should also find creative ways in God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. The Bible says, "So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood." While Noah was busy saving himself and his family, he did not neglect his responsibility to warn others of the coming judgment and their need to repent and turn to God. He was not selfish. This is a time when we should not just focus on saving ourselves, but we also need to remember our God-given responsibility to warn people of the coming judgment and their need to repent and turn to God. God protected Noah because of his obedience and his willingness to share the gospel. God can do the same for you. Praise God. We might ask the question, who then can be protected? The Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. This is a time to call upon the name of Jesus. That name that is above other name. Every other name. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a social responsibility as a church during this time of crisis. And I think Peter, in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11, sums it up quite nicely. He says, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts." Amen? All of us, we have gifts from God. Some of them we are aware of, and some of them we are not aware of. But Peter says, use them well to serve one another. Amen? So this is a time for us to use our gifts to serve one another in a creative way. Do you have the gift of speaking? He says, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Amen? We need to encourage people at this time. We need to encourage them. We need to speak with them. We need to relate to them. It's very important. He says, do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. He says, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The next thing I want to share is that as believers, we too must prepare for Christ's second return. Second coming. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 8 says, The end of the world is coming soon. It's sooner than we think. It says, therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Beloved, this is a time for God's people to be praying. Hallelujah. To be earnest and disciplined in our prayer life. He says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. And we have to remember that love is an action word. It's one thing to say, I love you. I love you. But that I love you must be accompanied by action. By action that demonstrates our love. In Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44, the Bible says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Amen? Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit the house to be broken into. Praise God. And Jesus says, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. If the leaders of the world knew of and understood the coronavirus, they would have been better prepared. I understand a few years ago, a prominent citizen of the world warned of a possible pandemic and the need for the world to prepare. He did not get much attention. Jesus is still saying, as it was in the days of Noah, shall it be in the days of his return. Do not ignore God's call on your life to repent and prepare for his second coming. Don't be caught off guard. Perhaps you are watching and listening to this broadcast, and you are not a believer. God is calling you to repent and become a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are already a believer, the Spirit of God is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct your paths. Praise God. Amen. If you are listening and you feel that God is calling you to commit your life to Jesus, I want to invite you to just bow your head right where you are and just agree with this prayer and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, I thank you that Revelations chapter 1 verse 5 tells me, unto him, that's Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Lord, I acknowledge and I accept even now that you have washed me from my sins in your own blood, and you have made me a king and a priest unto God. And so, Lord, because of this, I thank you for your forgiveness, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I commit my body, my soul, and my spirit to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you are in agreement with that, just say amen and thank God for your salvation. Praise God. Before I close, you know, I want to pray for some conditions in the human body. I saw a vision of a Caucasian woman walking through what seemed to be liquid fire on a sidewalk in a large metropolitan city. If you are listening, God is saying, even as you are walking through the fire, I am with you. Lord, I just commit this woman to you, Lord, and ask you to strengthen her and to encourage her. Cause her not to be tempted more than she can bear, Lord. And Lord, with the temptation, Lord, provide a way of escape. I thank you that you love her and you know what she's going through, Lord. But Lord, thank you that you have promised to take her through safely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I also saw a vision of a woman lying down, a woman perhaps in her 50s, lying down on her back with a swollen body from head to toe. She was sleeping a lot. Praise God. Now, maybe you know somebody who has this condition. And as I pray, whether you are the person or you know somebody who has this condition, just stand in the gap for that person. And God is able to heal them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit this woman to you, Lord. Hallelujah. I rebuke that spirit of infirmity in her body now, in the name of Jesus. And I pronounce your healing in her body now, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of death over her life now, in the name of Jesus. And I command you to loose her now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just bless her now with the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Hallelujah. And then I you know, the word astigmatism came to me. Astigmatism in the eyes. Because of it, you're having a distorted or a blurred vision. Lord, I just commit that person to you now, Lord. And I ask you to touch her eyes. I speak healing to her eyes now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed of astigmatism now, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then finally, I want to pray for anyone having a respiratory disorder. This can be asthma. It can be pneumonia. It can be bronchitis. It can be coughing. It can be shortness of breath. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no sickness that God cannot heal. The word of God says, by your stripes, by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit every person having a respiratory disorder to you, whether it be asthma, whether it be pneumonia, whether it be bronchitis, whether it be coughing, shortness of breath, or any other, I speak to that condition now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go, to leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus. I bind and I break the power of the spirit of infirmity over their bodies now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to loose them now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for healing them, O God. Thank you for healing them. Thank you that healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Praise the Lord. Amen.